Scripture gonna be coming from the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, 14th verse. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Amen.
Oh, let us not grow weary in the work of love.
Send the light.
Let us gather jewels for a crown.
Send the light.
The blessed gospel light.
Let it shine
from shore to shore.
Send the light.
The blessed gospel light.
Let it shine
forevermore.
John 1:4-5. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. May we see. I want to say good morning. Whether you're a member of this Franklin family, whether you're a visitor or a virtual guest, I'm grateful that you're here today and grateful that God has brought us together for yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those of us who would be the saints of God. I shortly open my Bible to Matthew chapter 5, and my invitation is for you to join me there as these verses will serve as a context for today's lesson, Light Bearer. Matthew chapter 5, Light Bearer. And while you're turning there, I want to tell you that the leadership of this congregation, the elders, they always see fit that the congregation is taken care of, and we have new information that we want to share with you because information is always something that should be shared. We had a meeting with our health committee here at the congregation, and the nurse from that committee said that while we're leaving, that I should wear a mask at the door because we have some new information on an EG5 variant of the COVID. I'd like to read this to you just for informational purpose so that we can be aware as a congregation. We want to always be vigilant of things that are happening around us, especially those of us that are close to each other and as a church. It says, beyond this U.S., EG5 is growing quickly in Ireland, France, the U.K., Japan, and China. The World Health Organization upgraded its status on Wednesday from a variant under monitoring to a variant of interest, a move that signals the agency thinks it should be tracked and studied further. The variant has become the most prevalent in the U.S. just as cases emerging. Emergency room visits and hospitalizations are going up, although there's nothing to suggest that this specific strain is what's driving those increases. Still, there are reasons to be hopeful that the wave of cases won't be so bad, says Dr. Ann Hahn, a postdoctoral associate in the Department of Epidemiology of Microbiology Diseases at Yale School of Public Health. We're starting from a very low baseline in combination with high population immunity, which would speak against a big surge anytime soon. However, what these new variants will do during the winter remains to be seen. I do expect that there will be widespread infections, and I would expect that those widespread infections would generally be mild, says Dr. Bayrock, an immunologist from Harvard. The people who are put at higher risk for severe disease obviously have to continue to take precautions. Vaccine manufacturers have said that they expect to have the updated shots ready in a few weeks, but CDC Director Dr. Mandy Cohen has projected that the updated vaccines will be available in October, since it will need to be signed off by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. That would be 4 months later than the boosters were available this fall. Goes on to talk about how kids bring more than homework from school as well, so we need to be vigilant about those things, as well as be vigilant as a church, as a people of God, about the things that are happening around about us. And I'm grateful to the elders that they have this information, and we have a committee, and that we can take those instructions from that information and certainly use those to our advantage, that we might be safe and serve God in spirit and truth as we do every Lord's Day. Once again, good morning. Matthew chapter 5, is where we're going. The lesson today is the lesson that's called Light Bearer. We've all heard that commercial for Motel 6, right? We're going to leave the light on for you. I got to tell you that somebody's been leaving the light on for me. And I'm grateful to God that there is a light to be left on for each and every one of us. In Luke chapter 8, we are told that Jesus is going through cities and towns and is proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. He has 12 disciples with him, and this is where we meet a lady by the name of Mary. Mary called Magdalene. From this we get her name, Mary Magdalene. There are 7 Marys mentioned in the New Testament, so this helps us to differentiate her from any other Mary. Magdala was a village located near the Sea of Galilee. And since this is the first mention of her, we know nothing of her life situation preceding this moment at all. The scripture goes on to say, from whom 7 demons has gone out. Can you imagine having 7 demons inside of you? How about being tortured by just one, but just one demon inside you? How about that? Mary was tortured by 7 demons. And we don't know for how long she had those demons, but clearly her situation was dark. Her situation was very dark. And we're given specifics in this passage that Jesus healed her. Not only is casting out demons a miracle, but nothing else would help except the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to heal us from whatever disease we might have. Also in Mark 16:9, we know for sure that Jesus performed this miracle because it says he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. Jesus appears in the life of Mary Magdalene. And when he appears, everything for Mary of Magdala changes. When Jesus appears, he becomes the light of the world to someone who had only lived in darkness. He brings the light to her life. So our question this morning is this: what effect do you have on people when you enter their story? What effect do you have on people when you enter their story? When you enter their conversation, how does it change? What effect do you have? And I want you to keep in mind that when Jesus entered the storyline, darkness immediately disappears and the light becomes a game changer in Mary's life. So when you enter the storyline, does your presence raise a level of anxiety or does it make things better? When you enter into a person's life, how does it change the atmosphere? Some people, and some we know very well, they have the opposite effect of Jesus in that storyline. You never know what's going to be said. We've all said from time to time, oh, here he comes. Oh, here she comes. Here they come. And you never know what's going to be said, but you know that the mere presence makes it uncomfortable. And certainly, it doesn't make things any better at all. But there are far more Christians that have the opposite effect of that as well. When Christians enter a conversation or a gathering, they lower the anxiety level of the whole group. And they bring joy and ease. Christians should bring comfort to whatever situation that they're in. You know, some people, you just love to see them coming. And you can't wait till they get there because you know it's going to be a pleasant experience. You know you're going to be uplifted. You know everyone's going to be better because he or she was there. So what effect do you have on the people when you enter a group? Listen to me. What effect do you have on the people when you enter a group? Maybe a better way to ask this question is this. What is it like to be on the other side of me? Ask yourself that right now. What is it like if you're an individual that's doing the talking in a group conversation, and what's it going to be like to be one of the other people listening to me? What's it like? What are they thinking about you? How do they feel about you and what you're bringing to the table? I mean, it's a tough way to look at it all, but it's also very helpful. It's a helpful way to think about our impact on other people. We never think about that. It's tough because our perception of how we come across to others is easily misleading to our own personal selves. We can't see ourselves like that. But we need to be honest about that. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind that there are times that I think I'm coming across one way to someone, when in fact, I may be coming across in a completely different way than I thought. Why are you talking to me like that? Well, you don't know. You just can't perceive that. Why did you say that like that? Amen? When in fact, I think I'm coming across in a completely different way than I thought. Maybe your humor isn't what you thought it was, or maybe your sarcasm isn't as funny as you think it is. So the question is, what is it like to be on the other side of me? And that's important. It's important because we can intentionally hurt other people. And if we've spoken to about that, if somebody comes and talks to us about that, we would truly be shocked that anybody would even think of us in that way. But it's real. It's real. It happens to all of us. Because we would never see ourselves that way at all. Because our conversation is always one that we want to be acceptable to all men everywhere. But at the end of the day, when you and I leave this world, people are going to remember the effect of our presence, because we're all going to leave a legacy. Will that legacy be one of love or of letdown? Will it be a legacy of cheer or one of grief? Will our legacy be one of kindness or of selfishness? Will the legacy we leave be one of help or one of hurt? Got your Bibles open? Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read in your hearing verses 14 through 16. Nothing will be on the board today. We want to read. I need you to see this through your own Bibles. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. The Bible reads, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, from these verses of Scripture, I glean three things this morning. The first thing I glean is a word called reality. Reality. I mean, we work hard for certain things to be true in our lives. We want certain things in our lives to come to fruition, to be realities. So we work hard, we become educated, and we pursue excellence. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And not only is this a title, but it's also a job. The title indicates that Jesus says, this is who you are. Never did he say, "I want you to aspire to be that." He didn't say that you may one day be that. He didn't say this comes from being a perfect Christian. What he did do was look at those people from the mountaintop and say, "You are the light of the world." This is who you are. This is your reality. This is your job, to bear light in a dark, dark world. Because Christians, after all, Christians are the ones to reflect the light of Jesus Christ and become light in the lives of those with whom they interact. We're to become light in the lives of those people who we come in contact with each and every day. And there's a gravity to that each of us ought to feel. There's a weight and a responsibility that ought to be had, as is attached to the fact that you are the light of the world. And you need to feel that. You need to feel that gravity, you need to feel that responsibility. Jesus says that you are the light of the world. I mean, we've heard this phrase over 1,000 times, no less than that. But has it really registered with us? Has it registered? Jesus says this is who you are, and it's time to own up to it. We never think about ourselves in that way. But that's exactly what he said. He says, "You are the light of the world, and you need to own up to that." John R.W. Stott, he wrote these words concerning this scripture in Matthew 14. And this is what he said. "The world is going down the drain," we say with a shrug. "But whose fault is it? Who's to blame? Let me put it like this. If the house is dark when nightfall comes, there's no sense in blaming the house. This is what happens when the sun goes down. The question is, where's the light? Where's the light?" Just so If society deteriorates and its standards decline until it becomes like a dark night or a stinking fish, there's no sense in blaming society, because that's what happens when fallen men and women are left to themselves and human selfishness goes unchecked. The question is, where's the church? The question is, where's the church? Why are salt and light of Jesus Christ not permeating and changing our society? Why is it not changing? It's sheer hypocrisy on our part to raise our eyebrows and shrug our shoulders and wring our hands, because Jesus told us to be salt and light in the decaying world. He said, you are the light of the world. So why are we shrugging our shoulders and wringing our hands? You are the light. We have a job to do. We have a responsibility. So when the world grows dark around you, why are you wringing your hands? Just be a light. The point he's making here is that there's indeed a weight in the gravity and the seriousness of the title that Jesus gave to us. So the question is this: are we living up to that title and the work we are assigned to by the Son of God? The word is reality, and that is your reality, whether you know it or not. Your reality is you are the light of the world. I need you to get that. I need to sink in. We've heard this 1,000 times, but has it ever sunk in? Listen to what he said again. You are the light of the world. The second word that I gleaned that comes from this is a word called vagueness, ambiguity. We believe that there is an uncertainty to what Jesus said. We don't want to believe everything that he says. We want to believe that there's an uncertainty here. And we want that uncertainty to take us off the hook. I mean, let's be honest. We've read this verse again, over and over and over again. And we've heard Jesus say, you are the light of the world. And we've never, ever embraced it in our Christian life. How many have? How many people go out thinking that they're the light of the world and has embraced this in their Christian life? I'm the light. I can make a difference. I can change things. We never embraced it. Me? Influence the world? Me? Change the world? Well, you know, that takes me off the hook. How am I supposed to do that? There are billions of people in this world right now. So are you going to tell me how am I supposed to do that when 99% of the people in this world will never even know I existed? How do I do it? Well, what we need to do is see that Jesus is simply saying, you just light up your world. Don't worry about nothing else. You light up yours. You light up your own world. Be a light bearer where you are. Give light to your friends. Give light to your family. Give light to those of the common salvation in the church. Give light to neighbors and co-workers as well. And what I think that would comprise at least 95% of your own world. So you just be a light where you are. Be a light where you are. Starting today, you could be a light to your spouse. Started off bad with them, bring in some light. Be a light to your spouse. And start off with your children. You can be a light to your children. You can be a light to your grandchildren. And yes, you can even be a light to your in-laws. You can. You can be that light. You can be a light for Jesus. And it can be so easy with a church family as wonderful as ours to do that with and for each other. We can do that with each other. We can be a light for each other and not just talk about it. Because Jesus didn't just talk about it, nor did he climb up that mountain to be some kind of guru just to proclaim principles to the world. His world became whoever was in his presence, and he lit it up. He lit it up. There's a centurion who comes to Jesus. And he says, you know what? My daughter is sick unto death. She's dying. And what Jesus does? He gives that dark situation the light of life. As he's preaching, the crowd is so overwhelming that 4 men let their paralyzed friend down through the roof on a mat. And his light, the light of Jesus, is no match for the crippling darkness that has overtaken this man's life. So he says, arise and pick up your mat. He gives the situation light. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. And before the conversation has ended, the light came on in his soul. Jesus looks at him, he says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He lighted up on the cruel cross of Calvary when the sun refused to shine, when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was on that cross with his head hanging down, nailed to that cross, when the sun, I said, refused to shine, there was no light anywhere. Jesus looks down and he sees his mother. In the midst of all of her darkness and all of the pain in her world, Jesus becomes a light of comfort and he says, Mary, don't you weep. Don't you do it. The point of it is this. Jesus became a light to the world that was in front of him. He became that light that took away anxiety. He became that light that took away pain. He became that light that took away the darkness. Oh, I heard him say, I heard Jesus say, I am the light of the world. And he expects you to do the same thing. He expects you, just like he did, to light it up. There are a lot of people right now who can use the light in their lives right now. You know someone, somebody might be feeling bad, and just one simple word, one simple look, one simple touch, one call. All of us have darkness in our lives, or have had in some point in time. We can go there and we can light it up. Bring Jesus. We can light it up. We can light up the world. Take away anxiety. Take away pain. Take away darkness. You know, there are 7 I am statements in the Bible, but this is the only one that he applies to us. He says, I am the light of the world, and you are the light of the world. He doesn't say, I am the resurrection, and you are the resurrection. He doesn't say, I am the vine, and you are the vine. He doesn't say, I am the bread of life, and you are the bread of life. But what he does say is, you are the light. I need you to get that. Because there have been too many dim souls dotting in and out of the doors of the church. We need to bring the light. When we come in, bring the light where we're going to find light. And we can be as bright as the world can ever think or imagine. Too many dim lights. He says, you are the light of the world. The third word I glean from this is the word called opportunity. That means you are the light of the world as individuals. That means you and you and me. And we have to shine and be that light in our world. And it's a single individual responsibility. It's a responsibility for you and for you and for me. It's single and individual. But here's what I want you to notice. Did you notice the subtle change in the next statement that Jesus says? He says, you are the light of the world. And there's a comma there. And then he says this. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Listen to me. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. So Jesus shifts from you and me to a city, which is a collection of people. And in the hills of Judah at that time, people would have understood that. And there were people who were wary at night of who would be hiding in the dark and extremely happy to see the lights of a city, because before long, everything would be okay. You see, his audience, would understand the city on a hill and knew that when a group of city people at night all had their lights on, you just can't miss it. When all of the people in the city on the hill had their lights on, you just can't miss it. There's no hiding the light. Listen to me, as a Christian, as a follower of God, there's no hiding of the light. The point, I think, is that a light-filled Christian can reach another person. But a light-filled church, I'm telling you, we can reach the world, because there's no hiding the light. The light is in you. You just can't hide it. Can't. Listen, when we truly live as light-filled Christians to our family, when we truly live as light-filled Christians to our friends, and when we truly live as light-filled Christians to our neighbors, when we live as light-filled Christians in the church, People are going to be influenced for good. Good. Anxiety will decrease. No more strange looks at each other. No more backbiting. No more bitterness. No more gossip. When we live as light-filled Christians, no more lying. When we live as light-filled Christians, people are going to be influenced for good. Peace and joy will increase. And our relationships will be fulfilling, more fulfilling than we can ever think or imagine. And our legacy will be that we've lived to light the way of salvation to a dark and dying world. That's what the mission is, isn't it? We want to light the way of salvation to a dark and dying world. People are out there dying every day, just groping in the darkness. He says, you are the light of the world. And we can do that together. We can do it when we take seriously the title that Jesus gave us and responsibility to be that light bearer. We can become a magnet that draws people to Jesus. A magnet that draws people to God's Son, the light of the world. Here's one last thought for you. Good light. Good light. Not dim light. I'm talking about a good light. Good light is fueled by good works and good deeds. Not just by singing about it or praying about it. Not just by thinking about it or talking about it. But by actually getting up, going out, and lighting up your world. We light up more Christmas trees than we light up somebody else's life. Amen. We can't wait to get to it. We go buy extra lights. If the light goes out, we got a replacement. But if somebody in your life is down and they're really not seeming to make it, and you ask them how they're doing, they start to tell you, you just go the opposite direction because you're dim lights. I'm talking about good light. Good light is fueled by good works or good deeds, and we don't just sing about it. We don't just pray about it. We don't just think about it or talk about it. We get up, we go out, and we light it up. Light up your own world. Don't worry about somebody else's. So here's the challenge for you. Go out this week and write your story of good. You write the story. Don't let the world dictate to you how the story ought to go. You write the story of God. Go out and be a light for Jesus. Like the song says, be a light for Jesus every day. Every day. This is a theme we may have never, ever embraced because we've read over it 1,000 times. That's all we've done. Read over it 1,000 times. Never taking it in as if we were the light. But that's what he said. And he didn't mix words. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. I need you to embrace that. It's a title and it's a job. You go and you light up the world. Because there are so many people that are living in the dark. Some of those people are close to you that you've been ignoring for quite some time. Be the light. People can use a little light in their lives. Amen. They can use Christ. They can use the Christ that lives in you to bring them that light. To help them get rid of the darkness from their world. Mary Magdalene had 7 demons. Can you imagine that? Imagine that? The only way that I can see that, I might have 7 demons in my life. Maybe 7, what they call bad children. But to have 7 demons in your life, I can even imagine 1. Her world was dark. Her world was very dark. But when Jesus entered her presence, listen to me. Can you imagine that? Everything changed for her. Everything. You look at Luke 16, look at Matthew 28, you know what the Bible says? Early in the morning, the first day of the week, guess who was at the tomb of Jesus? Mary Magdalene. Imagine that. Looking for the master. Serving him. When he's looking and when he wasn't looking. How about you? How about you? Are you the first one to seek the Christ? And when you find him, do you bring somebody else with you? There are a lot of people out there that are living in the dark, a lot of dark places in this world. And they can sure use a little light in their lives. And they can also use the Christ that lives in you to rid the darkness from their world. We can do it. We can do it together. But individually, there is a weight and a gravity that goes along with that. It's our responsibility to go out and be a light for people every day. Every day. Matthew 5:16 continues to go on. The Bible says this. Let your light so shine before men. You let your light, because you got one. Amen. He didn't say when you get it, let it shine, right? You let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He said, let them glorify God. You didn't want to talk about how bright your light is or how dim. Let it shine. Too many people talking about other things other than Christ. The focus is not that you're bringing light. The focus is you're bringing the light of Jesus Christ into their lives. That's the focus. To rid them of darkness. To rid them of pain, anxiety, and sorrow. To give them comfort and ease. Here's God's invitation. Here's his invitation. John chapter 1, 6 through 9, this is what the Bible says. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He bore witness of the light that all might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. We are not that light, but we are sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into this world. 1 John 1, 1 through 10. Listen to the invitation from God. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be complete. This is the message which you have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Listen, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we liars, and there's no truth in us. We don't even practice the truth. We just liars in the dark. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Doesn't light make it evident? Oh, light makes it evident. I got to tell you, it does. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, listen to this, from all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I'm talking about being a light bearer this morning. When you enter in the presence of someone, when you enter their situation, their conversation, how does the atmosphere change? Is it one of anxiety, or is it one of cheer? We would never think of ourselves in that way. But I got to tell you, when Jesus showed up on the scene in the lives of people who had darkness all around, he lit it up. And we could do the same thing. We could be a light for Jesus every day. If there are those of you out there this morning who have never experienced the light of Jesus Christ, who have never understood that he purchased the church with his own blood, he died for you and for me. He didn't die for anybody else, not just for me, not just for you, but he died for the whole world, that salvation might be theirs. There are those of us who need to repent of our sins as Christians because we've never, ever embraced the fact that we were the light of Jesus Christ. It's high time we turned around and started bearing that light, that people might know that Christ lives in us and glorify God as a result of that. There are those that need to be baptized in Christ for the remission of their sins. They've been out there groping around in the dark world looking for God. He's in your presence right now. He's made his move. It's now it's time for you to make your move. Will you come to the light? Will you come as we stand and sing God's invitation song?
Come to Jesus. He will save you. Throw your sins as crimson glow.
Will there be one today to come to God? Will you come?
If you give your heart to Jesus,
will there be one to understand the gospel and be receptive to what God has said to each and every one of us? Will you come? Will you come today?
Come to Jesus.
He's the light of the world.
To Jesus.
If you're living in darkness, yeah. Come to Jesus and let him light it up for you.
Come to Jesus.
Will there be one?
Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come today.